Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Burke Allen Show. No subject is off limits as Burke talks with entertainers, authors, speakers, and everyday Americans about the subjects that matter to you. Be a part of the program now by calling 718-506-1944. 718-506-1944. Or instant message your messages direct to our studio. Now, from his top-secret broadcast bunker in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., award-winning broadcaster, Burke Allen.
That voice guy is over the top. We've got to have somebody redo that. Hi, everybody. I'm Burke Allen. We're live in D.C., and it's a beautiful, sunny day. Time to talk dads and divorced dads, specifically. We have an author on the line who is an award-winning author, apparently, and that's always good. You know, we're bringing up the Rent District around here, who's written a book about how divorce actually made him a better dad. The title of the book is fantastic. It's the 40-year-old version, and it's all about being a divorced dad. Joel Schwartzberg is our guest. Hey, Joel, thanks for being on the show today.
It's my pleasure, Burke.
So, first of all, award-winning humor writer. Is this something that actually happened to you? Are you a divorced dad?
I am a divorced dad. My children are 11, 7, and 7. I got divorced in 2007, and then I was remarried in 2008. The kid's mom also got remarried.
All right.
So we have some blended family issues as well.
There's no two ways about this. This is bad news for everybody involved, but you say at the end of the day, there are some things you can do to make it a little bit better.
Right, and I'd even go a little further and say that it can present opportunities. I'm not a proponent of divorce by any means, but for so many couples, it happens, and so many parents, it happens. And it did present for me, and I think it would present for many dads, an opportunity to re-explore the authentic dads that they really are and to really become those dads.
Now, this book, The 40-Year-Old Version, is actually, the book is won some awards in the humor category, so you mix some sort of smiles and funny stuff into the mix here, including a whole different name for greeting cards.
Mm-hmm. I call it grading cards.
Yeah.
And I make fun of them as a whole, but, you know, one of the points I make is if you look at Mother's Day cards, they often present the mother in glowing terms. This is the tribute we need to give to her, and there are flowers and all the ways she's martyred herself for her kids, and that's all fine and good. There's nothing wrong with that. But then you look conversely at Father's Day cards, and where the lazy guy who only is concerned about sports and the lawn and spending time in our easy chairs, you know, we're generally a dope and we're not good about remembering where things are or what the contents of the refrigerator are. And it points out like a stereotype about dads, that we're somehow the lesser parent. And I think that definitely works against divorced dads who might be inclined to move further away from their children as a result of the divorce, as if they divorced their children, in addition to their former wives.
Joel's website, by the way, is bookfordad.com. And you may have read Joel in the New York Times Magazine, Newsweek, the New York Post, one of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and other stuff. Now, if you'd like to be a part of the program, maybe you are a divorced dad. Our number is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944, or you can instant messages direct into the studio. Back to school time is upon us, and I just got a phone call earlier today. I've got a little one who's going away to kindergarten, and they're placing him in the morning kindergarten instead of the afternoon kindergarten. Mm-hmm. If you're a divorced parent, this has got to be one extra headache that you have to learn how to navigate. Any tips?
It's an awkward absurdity. And, you know, the tips I would give for navigating that process really boil down to the overall tip I give, which is to understand that when you're a divorced dad, you're still a dad. You know, one of the subheading of my book is Humoirs of a Divorced Dad, but it was almost tales of a part-time dad and a full-time life, until I stopped and thought, I don't give up my dadhood, you know, certain parts of the day. In fact, now that I'm divorced, you know, there are some kids who are in intact families where they don't see their fathers for years because they're off at war, or maybe their parents are lawyers and, you know, they come home too late at night. The amount of time you spend with your kids is not the big point in defining your dadhood. I mean, the more time you can spend with your kids, the better. But the true point is that you're a dad. So if you're at that school orientation or the first day or meeting the teachers, understand that you're not the lesser parent. You're not because you're a father, and you're certainly not because you were divorced. You have as much right to that information, as much right to that relationship with those teachers. And by this, I'm talking about an independent relationship, not one in which your ex-wife is the proxy. You know, you have a right to all the responsibilities and obligations of being a parent. And divorced dads should really, you know, jump into that with both feet.
Do you find that it's difficult whenever you have to go to these joint PTA meetings and that sort of thing with your ex to not get, you know, drug into the he said, she said, you know, run her down kind of stuff?
Right. You know, it was until I established who I was as a father and became more of an authentic father. And I'll break that down by contrasting it to what I was when I was part of that relationship. When I was in that family, I had a tendency to define myself by my wife's expectations. What does she want me to do? Would she wanted me to say this or do this? Also by my parents' expectations, being role models. Also by the guy who sat on the Tonight Show couch and said to Jay, I love being a dad, and it's the greatest thing ever, and it's a piece of cake, it's a cakewalk. Dr. Phil, you know, there are so many places where you can adopt someone else's definition of what kind of dad you are. The moment I separated that myself from that, and saw what kind of dad I was, that's the moment I began to be more secure. And so these moments where, you know, the kid's mom and I show up at the same event, whether it's a school play or it's an orientation or the first day of school, you know I'm my own person. And it's one of the essays I wrote about, in fact, two of the essays in the book. One of them deals with a back-to-school night, and the other deals with that first day of school. And looking around and seeing other divorced dads kind of like staring around, I felt a kinship with them and a kinship with the same feeling we shared about, do we really belong here? And the answer is absolutely.
Good for you. Jill Schwartzberg is our guest today talking about divorced dads. Our number 718-506-1944. And specifically as we get ready to head back to school all across America. And we have Bill on the line. Bill is in Delaware. Hey, Bill, you're on the air. Bill, are you there? I can't hear our caller. Let me try one
more. Is Delaware still there?
There he is. I think we're on the air. Hello, Bill, are you there? Let me try one more. Okay. Are you there, Delaware?
Can you hear me?
There he is. We have a connection.
How you doing?
All right. I'm sorry about that. And what is your question for our guest, Joel Schwartzberg?
Quick question, Joel. I have a young kid, and me and the mother just split up. Do you have any advice on the quote-unquote baby mama drama that I'm going to have to deal with?
Tell us more about your baby mama drama.
Yeah, you got to break that down.
I'm sorry?
Tell us more about your baby mama drama. So you are no longer with your ex.
Yeah, we dated for about 4 years. We have a 3-year-old, and it's just it kind of took that turn where it's just not working out anymore. Mm-hmm. We split up about 6 months ago, and I've started dating somebody else, and that's causing a problem with her not wanting me to be around my kid because of the other person, so on and so forth. So mm-hmm. Do you have any advice on how to deal with this?
Well, I mean, there are a couple of issues there. One is to establish your home as your child's second home. You know, we dads who divorce sometimes have a feeling like our kids are visiting us or we're their babysitters, and there's a sort of visitation. We're not really a parent anymore. The truth of the matter is your child now has two homes, one home with his or her mom and one home with you. And that should be iterated and made clear from the get-go so that the child understands it, but also so that you understand it. You are an equal parent in this. Regarding your girlfriend, you know, I got remarried in 2008, and there are a lot of issues about stepmothers, and you need to know that she's taking a lot on when she's coming into your life, a lot more than she signed up for. So as long as you're treating your girlfriend with respect and understanding that she didn't necessarily sign up for a kid in addition to a boyfriend, then, you know, everything should be okay as long as you're the one being above board, taking the moral high ground.
Excellent. And then, do you have any advice on how to deal with the mother of my child who's kind of giving me a hard time for dating somebody else?
That's a great question, and Joel, you know this kind of thing happens an awful lot where it's difficult, especially around the kids, to not snipe about the other parent a lot.
Right. There's little you can do about what your ex-wife is doing. In fact, some people say that your rules at your house have to be the same for the kids' sake that they are at her house. I honestly don't subscribe to that. My feeling is that if the kids can understand a different set of expectations between home and school, then they can understand a different set of expectations between one home and another. So I wouldn't worry about being consistent between those rules. As far as, you know, dealing with your ex-wife, there's, you know, interpersonal problems, and then there are legal problems. The legal problems are the ones you have to address. The interpersonal problems, if someone's acting irrationally, what do? You don't stoop to their level. You let them, you know, flame out, as it were. And it's really a regretful situation if one parent is airing their marital issues in front of the children. And as long as you phrase everything in terms of what's best for the kids, do the kids need to hear this? Is that going to make them better people, happier people, healthier people? I think that's a message that any normal person should be able to appreciate.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Good luck. Good
luck. It sounds like Bill is in a tight spot there. Our guest is Joel Schwartzberg. The book is The 40-Year-Old Version, Humoirs of a Divorced Dad. It's an award-winning book. And you talk in the book, and I get a kick out of this, about frugal but fulfilling ways to spend time with your kids. Everybody's cutting back these days, so give us a couple of ideas.
Well, you know, it's important to know that a lot of divorced fathers think they need to spend a lot of money, take their kids to Disneyland every weekend as if they're making up for lost time. But what the kids really want is a sense that they're just living with you. You know, if you really subscribe to this idea that there are two homes, then that means your kids are living with you. That means you should take them on your errands. If you need to clean up, involve them in the cleaning up. And it turns out the kids like that kind of stuff. Like a child who likes the box of a toy as much as the toy itself. My kids really enjoy sorting my socks. They really enjoy putting my multivitamins in different containers. We really enjoy going to Kmart and running in and out of the aisles and going on scavenger hunts. One of the things we love to do is when we go to a supermarket, and I like carbonated beverages. You know, whenever we leave, we have a habit. We'll shake one up, and all of us will get a chance to shake it up. I have three kids. They're 11, 7, and 7. And then we let it explode. And they love it so much, and then we all share the drink so it's not for it to go to waste. But the point is that they have a really good time at the cost of a fraction of a bottle of, you know, a carbonated beverage. But they love that. You know, we would find a little snow mountain in the parking lot where we would park, and we would get out and take the time to climb it. And these things are all free. They're all wonderfully fulfilling. And the kids appreciate the fact that you're understanding what makes them happy. And even more so, you're all having fun together. If you're all having fun together, that's something that that the kids will remember.
Joel Schwartzberg is a dad and an author, and he has three sticky kids. The 40-year-old version, and you can find out more at bookfordad.com. That's bookfordad.com. I read something funny about you, and that is that you have a method to get that work for your kids, at least, to get them to listen to a little different music than sort of the Barney Blues Clues stuff that we all tend to hear when we have little ones.
Yeah, I wrote a little bit about this. It really started from a selfish nature, you know, but it points to one of the messages I've been saying, which is that the best kind of fun is when you're all having fun together. You should try to avoid situations where you have to endure something that you think your kids are loving, because they can detect when you're having a terrible time. One good example is the music that we associate with young kids. We're talking about Dan Zanes, Lori Berkner, Blues Clues, like you said, you know, music from TV shows that we just cannot stand. Our ears are bleeding. We want to drive the car into a tree kind of music. The truth of the matter is your kids like music. They don't only like their own music. And I think sometimes we're a little too, we pay too much attention to healthy music versus unhealthy music. So one day, to my story, I had enough. And I said, you know, I'm switching my playlist. We're not going to listen to this kid's playlist anymore. We're going to listen to my playlist, which is soaked with 80s tunes that I listened to when I was in high school. And so now we're listening to, like, Rick Springfield and Jesse's Girl and Grooves in the Heart and some New Order and Pretty in Pink stuff. And you know what? They loved a lot of it. But so much so that they picked out key songs, whether it's, you know, Mmbop by Hanson or even modern stuff, some Lady Gaga songs they love. And, yeah, the lyrics may be a little inappropriate for them, but they're not really listening to the lyrics. They enjoy anything with a good beat. And
yep.
Because as they grew up, their friends started talking about this kind of music, it just made a more natural transition for them. But now, when I'm playing my music and they're liking it, we play a little game of, I think we call it play or skip, where we all kind of vote like a democracy on what we should do with the next song in my playlist. They have a feeling of empowerment. But we're all having a good time now. I'm not trying to hold my ears and hold the steering wheel at the same time when we're driving. And I think we're all better for it. Now, when they go home to their mother, they play kid music there. And that's her business, that's her story. But I can tell you, I never have more fun with my kids than when we're waiting for that next song from the 80s to pop up and to see if we like it or not.
And maybe the extra added bonus of it may make your ex-wife crazy that they like your music, too.
I wouldn't say that out loud.
Who said that? It wasn't me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are a lot of things like that, honestly. Like, I give my kids kind of sugary cereal on Saturday mornings, and it's the kind of cereal they don't eat at home, and I know it's not going to kill them. I know their teeth aren't going to fall out the next day. We also sleep really late, and we do a lot of things like this because kids have a stressful life during the week just like we do, and they deserve to kick back during the weekends and enjoy themselves. And if that involves sleeping a little late, watching a little extra TV, eating some sugary cereals, they love it, I love it. That's the kind of stuff that makes for a really happy childhood.
Oh, I know lots of moms are circling their computers now listening to this. The author is Joel Schwartzberg. The book is The 40-Year-Old Version, Humoirs of a Divorced Dad. It's available in bookstores everywhere, and at book4dad, that's F-O-R, book4dad.com. Joel, thanks for being on the show today. You were fantastic.
So it's my pleasure, Burke.
Book4dad.com is the website. I'm Burke Allen. Thanks for listening. Now go make it a great day.